Well, I'm glad you all made it this morning. I just about didn't. I was telling my wife on the way here, I think I'll just head on to Atacocan and go right by. And telling Joy the same thing. And she said, yeah, and you can toot when you go by. I was thinking of all kinds of excuses why I shouldn't be here. Probably the dog ate my message. How about that? That was a good one. I know. Neighbor has a dog, though. I could have thrown it over the fence and given it to... Oh, no, he can't do that because he's not there this weekend. Forgot about that. Anyway, praise God. My message this morning is going to be just a little bit different. So I ask that you bear with me. You might think, might be just a little bit on the boring side. If it is, you can throw something at me, a chair or whatever. I've had those thrown at me before in my old days. Well, that'll work. Yeah, you can throw that at me, too, if you want water. Anyway, sometimes, you know, the life of an individual Christian, you know, it can be filled with turmoil, both from external forces or internal forces. It can be an attack of the enemy, people, nature, violent storms, those sorts of things. It can be wars or financial stress. It can be sickness, or it could be just a bad attitude on your part or on our part. Could be the cares of the world, poor health, just bad habits all the way around, and not acknowledging God, period. In reference to Christian, born-again believers, the same can apply and often does to us as well as those individuals in the world. Only we have the advantage. You always have to remember that because God's got that seal of the great Holy Spirit on you. He also has you imprinted, the word says, on the palms of his hands. He knows you better than you know yourself, really. So I just want to draw your attention to some of the names associated to God, not just associated to him, but who he is. This is an old message I heard years ago from Oral Roberts. I don't know if anyone of you has ever heard that message about the fourth man in the fire. Now, I didn't copy any of this. It just came to me. So I went through the Old Testament book by book. I didn't read them thoroughly, but I'll tell you what, my eyes were sore after I got done because there's, what, 39 books there or something? You know, and that's when you start skimming through, your eyes kind of get, I got to stop here for a little bit, and because I've never really read through the Bible in its entirety. I read through the New Testament, but not the Old Testament. I got to some of that stuff where thinking, oh, really? What's this? Anyways, I just want to go into just a little bit of these. In Genesis 15, he's identified as a covenant maker, meaning that he performs covenants with us. He was the institutor of those covenants. He made promises to Abraham. Recall the story where he had the birds and the animals, he cut them in half, and he walked back and forth and down and, you know, through that sacrifice. The other instance there is where Abraham fell into a deep sleep and a smoking pot passed through. And Abraham said he fell as dead because the Lord had showed up. And he gave to Abraham promise of covenant of circumcision, covenant of promise, indicating that in a future time a Savior was going to be born, someone who would redeem mankind from their sin. And it passed all the way through. He told him it would be through Isaac that this Savior would come. And Galatians 3:13 confirms that Jesus showed up and he was made a curse for us. Exodus 12, he's identified as the Passover lamb. What a story. When the Lord passed over the firstborn of Egypt, Israel, and he spared them from the angel of death, and how they came through that, identifying again in a future time that there'd be a Passover lamb again. not to bring us into wrath, but to bring us into deliverance. And through all of this, if there's one thing I want you to remember, is the God who loves us, not the God of wrath. It would make absolutely no sense for him to save us and then dump us. God's just not that way at all, period. In Leviticus, he's a consuming fire. He accepted the first fruits of Israel's offering, and he will accept our offerings as well. He makes no difference today. He treated them one way, he's going to treat us the same way. The only thing you got to know about Israel is that in their times, if they were disobedient, some awful stuff fell upon them. I mean, boy, they were judged something horrifically when they turned away from the Lord God, but not so with us today. And you have to remember that. Numbers 14 and 10, he says of himself, I am the Lord God, your God. And because of Jesus, today he should be our Lord and our God. Deuteronomy 28 and 2 says, he's the blesser. We do not live under the law as Israel did, for it is impossible to keep the law. For we are new covenant believers, all of us who are born again. In order to get that, the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Pretty simple, straightforward, and honest, and you can believe it. Joshua 4:14 says, the Lord is the exalter. Just as he exalted Moses, he exalted Joshua. And he will exalt us as well if we remain faithful to him. Joshua 24:19 says as well, and I just wanted to bring that out because I ran across that there as well, but that he is a holy God, he's a jealous God. He's jealous for you. I mean, the price he paid for us, he says, you're mine. You belong to no other. And then we should covenant back with him and say, yes, Lord, amen. I am yours as well. Judges 16:23 said, he is the giver of peace. And he is the giver of peace. Not only that, but he gives us peace, for he is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. Some of those things he said way back then were just a forecasting of what was to come under the new covenant, which is for us here today. He is also power. That's in Judges as well. We can be endued too with power from on high, from the great Holy Spirit. And he freely gives us that if we ask him for it and if we remain faithful to him. You know, too often I've said this before, I'm a great proponent of the Pentecostal experience because of the Holy Spirit. If you believe in the Holy Spirit always leads us towards Jesus. We exalt the name of Jesus. We ask him for his power. You know, and his Holy Spirit falls upon us. Everybody has a different experience with the Lord. So all you have to do, just remember, just ask for it. In Ruth 2:20, he is recognized as the Lord, the blesser. The Lord invokes his divine favor upon us. You gotta know that his eyes are on you every day of your life, no matter what you're going through. God will always be there. 1 Samuel 1:3 says he's the Almighty. There's no other like him. We serve a mighty God. 2 Samuel 7:18 says he's called the Sovereign Lord. And that's an attribute of his. That's what he's made up of. Sovereignty. He has the absolute right and full authority to do as he pleases. He can do all things. 1 Kings 19 and 12 says, he's a gentle whisper. You know, everybody's looking for the thunder and the lightning and those sorts of things all the time, but often more than those things, he'll speak to us in that still, small voice if we learn to listen to him. For 2 Kings 9:3, he says he has the power to anoint. Ties in with his sovereignty. He can anoint who he will. He anoints us with his great Holy Spirit, and he has made us to be kings and priests. Think about that. He's made us to be kings and priests. And one day, not only are we that now, but one day we're actually going to rule. It says that we're going to rule over nations as we go up yearly to worship the Lord. And that day is coming. You can mark that down. You can take it to the bank. Because one day we are going to reign with him on this earth and in heaven. 1 Chronicles 16:9 says he performs wonderful acts and he is strong. Look what he did for the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea. I mean, you go put out your stick over Rainy Lake and see if you can part it. But you know, you have to remain faithful to him. You got to do as he tells you to do. You know, you have to walk with him daily. That's not, well, I'll just maybe today I think I'll just take a day off. Sometimes I feel like that, but I don't let myself. I got to remember who I am and where I'm headed. Like, you know, I got to know the Lord a long time ago. You know, 50 years ago when I first got saved. Oh, maybe anybody who's older than me and like my wife, maybe she would, you know. Oh, I see them little flames coming out there from behind Jennifer's head there. So burn your hair off your head, Jennifer. But you know, yeah, you know, and I wish I could always say that I've been there. But you know what? God's always been there for me. I couldn't do anything in the world without getting convicted. I mean, in the strangest places he would. I knew I shouldn't be doing what I was doing. But he remained faithful to me even when I wasn't faithful. So it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And God's going to will show up for you. Not that he's not there already, but he'll show up and do other things, greater things. Ezra 3:11 says, the Lord is God. And yes, he is, through and through. You know, do well for us to remember that he is God. You know, Jesus, sometimes we separate them. It seems like we take Jesus more on a personal level, and that's good. But we also have to remember he's not just Jesus. He is part of the Godhead. You know, the Lord showed me one time where he walked into heaven. I don't know, just got a real quick where they just intermeshed between the two of them, like there was just no difference between them. He is who he says he is. Nehemiah 1:5 says, the Lord God of heaven is a great and awesome, and he will do great and wonderful things for us. He'll show up for you when you need it. But you know, you gotta ask him. I was telling Pastor Marcel one day, I was talking to the Lord and I wasn't feeling real good. And I was, the first thing I had to do, my first inclination was to grab a Tylenol. Ah, the Lord says, pray first, then take your Tylenol. I said, well, okay. So that's what I did. You know what? And we should all do that. Before anything goes wrong, like just pray first about a situation. And then, you know, if it's a real difficult situation, wait for him. Phone somebody. I mean, as soon as you pray and you come in the name of Jesus, he's hearing you. He's listening to you. Now, sometimes, you know, it doesn't happen. I mean, sometimes a miracle will take place. And I've seen them too as well. But sometimes you've got to just kind of stand there and wait for him to move and wait for him to do something. And you know what? He gets the greatest joy out of that when your faith is strong and built up in him. You know, and he's proud of us because he's our Father God. So he does great and wonderful things for those whose hearts are perfect towards him. That sounds like, you know, I don't know, can we all have a perfect heart? Yeah. Because it's the heart of the man, the spirit of the man that's born again. So learn to separate the two of them. Learn to separate your soul as apart from your spirit, but they're so closely connected, people use them as one of the same. But your spirit is the thing that gets born again. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, those things come after. But if you can get those two things together, I tell you, the old flesh has no choice but to follow. So you got to quit thinking with your mind and start believing what the Word of God says. He's given us this thing for our benefit. It's time that we learn to use it that way. Ecclesiastes 2 and 26 says, He is the giver of wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. You know, a lot of people, by not believing him, challenge him on this stuff. But he will give us wisdom. All you got to do is ask him for it. He said he'll give it to you. Knowledge, he'll do that as well. He's God. He's God. Remember that. And happiness, too. In the most difficult situations, you can have joy and you can have happiness. If we just learn to depend on him, to know who he is. Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, whatever you want to call it, 2:1 says, He is the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. You know, he's all of these things. And that's the beauty of God. He said that about himself. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the mighty God who created the universe by his word when he took nothing and he made the universe. But he's also comes down and he described himself as a flower. And that's the God we serve. And he's a gentle God, a delicate and understanding Lord. So, in order to find that side of him, go seek him and find out who the Lord can be for you. Go and have a look. Go search him out. Go spend some time with him. Ask him. Show me. Show me that side of you. Isaiah, I think it's 8, 6, and 7. The big one we use every Christmas. He's wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Prince of Peace. You know, and he's all those things. He is all of those things. Too often I think we feel that, you know, we can just dig these things out of a bag and say that's, you know, we can use them when we need them. But these things are who God is. I mean, that's his makeup. We have to learn that. We have to get a hold of that and believe that, because he is wonderful. Jeremiah 11:20 says he's a righteous judge. And he can only judge as he can, because he's righteous. There's no darkness in him. So anytime he judges and makes decisions, it's always the right one. Can't question him on that. We can't strive with him. But you know what? He withholds his wrath from us, and he always will, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what he sees as the blood. He sees us as he sees Jesus. Lamentation says he is compassionate. He never fails, because he knows who you are. Too often we just go out and we just do things on ourselves. We get ourselves in all kinds of trouble, do all the wrong things. But he will lead us out of those things, because he's compassionate. He knows who you are. He remembers your frame. He's a mighty God that we serve. Ezekiel 10:4 says that he is the cloud in the temple and the radiance of the glory of the Lord. You know, in those days when they set up the temple, they made a place, holies of holies, and that's where God was. He wasn't in the hearts of men then. The priests had to go in once a year, make an atonement for them, and only certain individuals could go in, and a certain priest. But today, he lives within us. We are the temples of the Lord. And we have to treat it that way. We have to understand that the same God that ripped that big curtain and left this earth 2,000 years ago is in heaven now. He's living in each one of us who are born again. That's the God we serve. Daniel, it says he's the protector. He's the Ancient of Days. One day, it says in the book of Revelation, you're going to get an understanding of that, the Ancient of Days, when you see him. He's not going to be no baby. And I've said this before. Oh, I mean, when we see him with our eyes, when those days as John seen him, when the Lord revealed to him, he's got that hair, you know, it's sweaty as well. He's flames of fire in his eyes. He's girded with this and that. We're going to see the God that he really is. We always have to, and again, we have to remember that. And the radiance of that glory is supposed to live with us because he is the Ancient of Days. Hosea 11:4 says he's a lifter of yokes. Are you burdened today? You have that yoke, that burden around you? Well, when you're born again, that particular yoke is taken off of you. That's gone. But often we run into situations or we do things that we shouldn't do, and we burden ourselves down with different things. I said from the beginning, cares of this world. We fall into these little traps that the enemy has for us. But, you know, we have the power to say no. We can walk away from those things, give in to them, and you get all kinds of heartbreak and trouble. But he is our protector. Hosea 11:4 says, and also well, he's a lifter of your yokes. Oh, I just went through that. Joel 2:13 says he is slow to anger and abounding in love. Israel found out, you know, that they can face an angry God. Look at some of the things he did. Just because they rebelled against him in the desert, they wandered around in there for 40 years, it says. But you know what? He said, give them food. Their shoes didn't wear out. And look at Moses. His strength hadn't abated. He was as strong as he was when he was a young man. But he didn't go over into the promised land because of some little disobedient thing when he struck that rock. He was, you know. Those are some of the things that those guys faced. They faced exiles. They were carried away by other nations. They were defeated. But you always remember what I'm telling you here is under the old covenant. Amos 3 said he's the revealer of plans to his servants and prophets. We sang a song this morning about plans. You know, he designs plans for each and every one of us. Everybody in here has a plan, a different plan for their life. God wants you to do something. You're not to just be sitting in the chairs and be all comfortable, come here once a week. No, ask the Lord, show me your plan. What do you want me to do? You know, and he speaks through his prophets as well. Today, he hasn't changed. That's a hard thing to do, tell somebody something or get up and say something in front of people that concerns prophecy. Boy, I'll tell you what, you better be right. If it doesn't turn out right, then I'm not taking the blame. I'm going to blame you for not doing what you're supposed to do. Obadiah 1:1 says he's the sender of messages. Look what he did for Mary. Look what he did for Daniel. You know, Gabriel, go tell him this, go tell him that. And that's what he did for them under the old covenant. Go tell them. Yes, Lord, so away they went. So he has plans for you. Jonah 3:9 says he is salvation. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Pretty plain and simple if you ask me. He is salvation. That's what he came here for. Micah 5:4 says he is majestic and strong. You know, some of the things he did for Israel again are just beyond comprehension. Even in modern day, there are stories that come out of Israel how some of these missiles and that sort of thing passed right overhead and fell into the Mediterranean. Or, you know, where he foiled the plans of the enemy in that six-day war. You know, some of the things he did there are just astounding. And then after they tried out some of these armaments, they worked fine. But God showed up. And he shows up for us too. Each and every day of our life, he's here. All you got to do is just ask him. Nahum 1 and 7 says, he is my refuge in times of trouble. We can go to him anytime, any hour of the day. And he can be our refuge no matter what we're facing. And it can be terrible sometimes. I mean, some of the things we face in this life. But he is our refuge. And if we recognize him as such, and we wait for him, he'll get us out of those things. We might not have any idea, the vaguest idea, how we're going to get out of that. But he knows already. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd be with us always, even unto the end of the age. Haggai 2 says he's a promise of the new glory. The old is past. And one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Zechariah says he's the branch. In the New Testament, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branch. The same thing. He's the main. You know, without him, without me, he said, you can do nothing. You know, when in the New Testament, he was talking to born-again believers, new people, individuals. And that's true. We can't really do anything out of it. You know, we belong to him. We're not of this world anymore. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We should learn that while we're here on this earth. That's who God is. And that's how he treats us. And he will show up because we are a part of him. Malachi says he is the great king. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And that's who we are. And that's what we're a part of. You can take that one to the bank too. But you're going to find out all of this stuff after you get there. It'd be nice to know some of it now because the Lord can reveal it to you, but when you get there, when we all get there, we're going to know a lot of this stuff. Now, that was a quick rundown of what I studied, but also there's some other names that I just want to share with you too. I think that are so important. He's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He always provides. You know, we had an individual in our church one time. He was talking about how they had no food or had nothing. And you know, every time he went out to the freezer, there was a loaf of bread in there. It just kept automatically replenishing itself. I don't know how. I don't know how God does things. But I believed him because of the sincerity of the man's heart. And things happen. You read about different things, you know, and how God will provide. Again, remember that he knows who you are. You're one of his. Jehovah Siskiyou, that I'm saying that right, I don't know. And I really, I'm not going to argue with anybody over it, but that's what the way I say it. He says, the Lord is my righteous. And he is. He's righteous. But then so are we. You know why we're righteous? Because we're in right standing with him through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the cross of Calvary. The minute you said, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins, be my Lord and Savior, you became the righteousness of God. Don't go by your feelings. And those things will deceive you like you wouldn't believe. Don't go by them. Don't go by your feelings with this one. It's because you are a spirit being, the real you is a spirit being. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, is my banner. He watches over you for protection. Jehovah Rapha, pretty simple, says he's the healer. I don't know why we got to argue with that one. You know, everybody seems to think that's such a difficult thing, but you know what? You He's the healer, not you. But he's the healer. He can do things beyond your wildest dreams when it comes to sicknesses and diseases in your body. He'll heal you. And a lot of people can attest to that. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but God is, he's the healer. He says that. I am the Lord your healer. He told them that way back in Exodus. Jehovah Shaddai is the God of heaven. But not only the God of heaven, but the God of us. Jehovah Elohim. He's the living God. Some people think sometimes that he's gone on vacation because they're going through a difficult time, difficult situation. But he is a living God. And Jesus is ever present with us. Jehovah Shalom. He is the existing one. He's existing. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's hard for me to understand. I don't know, but he's the Ancient of Days. He always was, and he always will be. But he's there. Those are some of the things that his name is. You know, some people think that God operates on whims. He doesn't operate on whims. Sometimes we get that idea because, you know, let's see, who can I help out today? Maybe I'll help Doug out today. You know, Doug's got sore legs or sore hip or something. I'm not going to help him out. I think I'll help somebody else instead. Maybe I'll help Daryl out. You know, God doesn't operate that. He sees these things in us. He sees those little things, you know. He sees the pain and the misery that we have in this body. But one day that's all going to pass. By the way, Doug's going to get that fixed. So he has plans for you and me. Plain and simple. He's got something for you to do. You know, you just, because you come to church, that don't mean you're a Christian. You think about a lot of people go to church because it makes them feel good. You come to church because the Lord says to come to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I don't understand it, but there's something, there's a common denominator there where we can draw on each other's strength. My spirit knows your spirit. God knows your spirit. God knows our spirits. And that's what he knows. But he also knows about the things that matter to you. I'm not downplaying it because we all go through those things. But know that God cares no matter what you're going through. You know, when you doubt the Lord, you know, it's like taking him. Years ago, the Lord showed me that. It's just like taking him and whacking him in the head, whacking him in the face. That's not enough. That's what you're doing. You're telling him it's not enough. But God, yeah, that's enough. You're healed. I told you you're healed, and I'm, you know, or I can't quit this or I can't quit that. You can. I know you can because he did it for me. A long time ago, 40 years ago now, smoking and drinking the same day, and I think I told you that before, quit it. The Lord helped me because I quit once before. And I said, Lord, you helped me once before, help me again. And he did and was gone just like that. And I'm not saying that temptation didn't come. I'm not making it. I don't want to make it sound that easy, but every time I had the urge to do that, I said, Lord, help me. You know, pretty soon it passed. It's gone. I don't even think about it anymore. Just not there. It has no more power over me. That's what God does. He can deliver you from anything. I don't care what it is, but he can deliver you. And you know what? Don't let people condemn you. You know, Christian brothers and sisters, we're not to kick our brothers and sisters when they fall down. It's not our jobs to do that because they're hurting. We're there to lift them up. We're there to pray for them and help them and assist them in any way we can. Because a lot of times we need it. But just encourage them before the Lord. Just encourage them before God. The other thing I just want to leave is to don't be talking your problems. You know, the tongue's an awful thing if you let it get away. I mean, you know, you can tear people apart with it. You know, you can, you know, design a destiny for yourself with that? You know, God's not going to come and wind up your mouth. I mean, he had to do it a few times or a couple times in the old, you know, throughout history. You know, because they could have undone things. You're a powerful being. You got to understand that because you are made in the image of God and after his likeness. And with the Spirit of God and you being born again, you have all kinds of power. So start talking the things of God. All these names that God attributed to himself. I didn't even touch the New Testament because I just didn't have enough time. But there's lots of things there. You know, the Word of God says in Hebrews, you know, that we've come to this mountain, to the holy mountain, to the living God. And that's where you got to see yourself. Don't, you know, you're not some little insignificant being. You know, the enemy knows who you are. The angels know who you are. Can you imagine those things standing around, those beings standing around? They'll say, gee, did you hear Marcel say that? Oh, you can't, couldn't have said that. Well, I thought I heard him say that, you know, he was worthless. By the way, you're not worthless, but you're not. So quit, don't say anything like that about yourself because you are special. In God's eyes, you are the apple of his eye. Anybody touches you, you might not see the results of it right away, but they're going to have to answer to the Lord for that. They will have to answer to God for that because he remembers, he knows who you are. So put a little bit of a tight lip on your tongue, your lips. Start saying of yourself where God sees you. See him as your protector, your deliverer, your healer, your provider, all of those things. Start seeing him. Start seeing yourself as a jewel in his eyes. And I would encourage you to read Revelations 1 and 12. Get a good look at that and see who God is. And how one day we're all going to see him. And remember, you'll say, boy, did I ever mess up? But you know what? You're still going to be in heaven. But I don't know, you know, I mean, I can hardly wait for that day when I can stand there because, I mean, boy, there's a lot of people that have gone on before us who I want to see, who I know are there. And you can see them too. So you know what? If you need to make a commitment to the Lord, do it. It was a long time ago, like I said, quite a few years ago. I was only 17 when I first walked up from Salvation Army to that mercy seat and I knelt down. That's a hard thing to do. It was a hard thing for me to do anyways, to go kneel before the Lord and all them people in the church and say, yeah, Lord, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that. But I need you to save me. Boy, I'll tell you what, I got up from there and I knew I was saved. I mean, I knew there was something to this. I knew it. Well, I tell you what, and I left that, pardon me, but I left the Catholic Church and I skedaddled. And I thought, there is something to this. And then when I started hearing about this Holy Spirit, I left there and I went down to, well, first of all, I went to the old one on just for a night or two, to the one on Church Street there. And then I ended up over at the one on Butler. Oh, I thought, yeah. Was wanted to dance before God, but I'm kind of conservative, so I constrained myself, you know. But I'm really dancing on the inside, really going to town. But that's what God does. Boy, and he gives you that Holy Spirit. Boy, I'll tell you, ask Marlis. Wow. I was laying there in bed, and all of a sudden I could feel something, and I didn't know what it was. It was just coming up from the inside of me. So when it came out, I couldn't speak English. I was talking in strange language. You know, don't ever, if you haven't done that and if you're from a previous denomination where they don't preach that, it's true. I'm telling you, it's true. It's in the Word of God. I had a Mennonite telling me that. He said, I'm never going to question that. He said, it's in the Word of God. He says, it's got to be true. He said, but I haven't experienced it yet. He said, but if I ever do, he says, I'm going to come and see you. And I said, well, it's there. I said, it's real. It's real. Anyway, so if anyone needs an additional boost, a little bit of prayer. Okay. Shows gives me words too at home.
There's a call out. God is, he's saying, all the young people in this church, all the young adults, I'm calling you. Miles, when you walked back to your seat after I prayed for you, I saw the mantle on you, the anointing. And it's green, and it was sparkly, and it was the most beautiful velvet. And it flowed way behind you, because everywhere you go, that anointing follows you. And he's calling these people out as leaders. Marlon, I see you on a white horse leading an army of young people. Ashley, I see you on a horse with sword in hand, leading, going out, conquering the enemies that God has before you. And I saw my granddaughter Maya and Malia running beside you. You are not just going out on your own. You're bringing all the young people with you. Daryl, I see you running with a sword in hand, knocking down Satan and all his enemies. This young lady, I don't know who she is, but there's a huge call on her. She's a warrior for God. And I see her battling the enemies of God. All the young people, all the youth that aren't in this room right now, but they are called. You're all part of that end times. And now God says, this is the time. Ange, who holds a prophet in her arms, that baby had the gift of prophecy put in him before he left heaven, and it was put in her womb, and she has the honor and privilege of raising up a prophet of God. God is doing wonderful and marvelous things in these end times. And there's so many young people here and young adults. This is your time. This is your place. Don't walk away from what God's calling you to do, but step out. You know you have a call on your life and an anointing, and you're spreading it where you are. And when you come here, I feel that refreshing. I feel that anointing. And if there are people here that didn't get a chance to be prayed for today when we had prayer, please come up. The Spirit of God is so powerful and strong. Gary and Pam, you're part of the young people that are going to lead us out. You're part of that army. You're equipped. He's prepared you. He's put things in you, both of you. And I see you as a couple just charging forward. There's so many young people in this place. And this church is instrumental in the end times. Timothy just walked in, and he's a preacher. He knows it. He doesn't really want to believe it yet, but he's called to preach the word of God. When he starts preaching, that word's going to come out in such power and strength that people are going to fall down because the word of God will come out of him so strong. Don't walk away from that call in your lives. Because God needs you, and he needs you now.
Okay, you ready, Reagan? Jude, whoever else is up there. Where's that drummer gone? Is he gone, or is he still? Oh, there he goes right there. Didn't see you there. Sorry, brother. Come on up. Oh, and Bruce. How are you doing, Bruce? Praise the Lord. Okay, as Marla says, you know, you need a little bit of prayer for anything, you know, come on up. No sense in taking it back out the door with you. You might as well get a little boost, a little bit of power. Hallelujah. Okay, whatever.
So this song is just beautiful. How the priests in the temple they had to go through so much animal sacrifices just to get to this place. But now we could go boldly before the throne of grace because of the blood.
Take me in by the blood of the Lamb.
If you wish to, you go ahead and do so, but just have your conversations out in the foyer, please. And thank you for coming.